You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Goes Kid Chocolate, Kid Quillen, of course, Peter Quillen, the former WBO champion, part of this movie Counterpunch, is part of the LA Film Festival. It's rocking and rolling, but you can watch it on Netflix. It made its debut on Friday, and it's rocking and rolling. Check it out. I'm talking Counterpunch with Peter Quillen. PQ, Peter Quillen is in the house, of course, Brooklyn, New York, I think is what he calls home. And Mr. Quillen, how's life treating you?
Life is treating me very well. I'm enjoying my time right now. I'm in the North California area right now.
Wonderful. Of course, we love you out here in California. That's where I live. No doubt about it. The most beautiful place in the world. Now, what's going on in the life of Kid Chocolate right now?
Right now, I'm just preparing, hopefully, for another fight, maybe in July. I got this new Netflix documentary coming out, featured with some other boxers. And, you know, I'm very excited about it. And, you know, I'm coming up on my four-year anniversary with my wife. I got two lovely kids, and I'm just thankful to be here in a place where I'm able to have a clear mental state of mind.
Hey, lucky guy. Nice wife, good kids. Before we get into the documentary, what's happening with Peter Quillen, the professional fighter? I mean, you were rocking and rolling there, and then you sort of, like, disappeared a little bit with only one loss.
Well, I'm in the gym. Like, as of right now, I'm in the gym right now. I just took a little break from the workout and sweating, but I got a new trainer, a new team, so I've been taking my time to learn what they're trying to instill in me. So I'm training with Virgil Hunter right now. So I've been up here since last year. It's coming up on my year in July since I've been here in California with Virgil, learning from him.
I guess I'm going to have to come down to Hayward, California and see you work, huh?
Yes, of course. You know, so I'm coming down to L.A. Tomorrow night, looks like, and then I'll be heading to Las Vegas, and I meet my wife in L.A. We go to watch the fight, Andre Ward fight, this weekend, and just be excited about the atmosphere that I'm going to be there with and being able to experience that with my wife. And, you know, it's like a lovely, lovely thing. People just think that I fell off the mat, like I haven't been training. I'm a professional boxer, so I'm always in the gym. My mentality is in the gym, and, you know, one loss don't define.
Interesting. Your stablemate, Andre Ward, of course, going up against the once-beaten Sergey Kovalev, a little controversy in that one loss, of course, to Andre Ward. But they will be hooking it up in the rematch this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time on pay-per-view, 6 o'clock out here in the West. Now, training around Andre Ward and Virgil Hunter, you know, I knew them when they were poor. I mean, they were so poor at one point in time, and they got money now. They got money now. But back in the day, I'm not making light of this, Peter. We're all poor at one point in time. But Andre Ward used to push a station wagon around the Hayward parking lot for strength. I mean, they didn't have any money to go to gyms and take any high-tech stuff, that kind of stuff. So Virgil developed him from the ground up, man, and of course he is the world champion.
Man, that's what you can define a guy, that a trainer. You know, he takes a guy from nothing and build him into where he is right now, pound for pound, one of the best fighters in the world right now to this day. So, you know, I think with his knowledge and his game plan, with me, I think it's going to only do a good job. I've been learned to be in any situation and adapt to it. You know, I think this environment that I'm in with these guys is going to be a good one for me.
Okay. How did you acquire the name Kid Chocolate?
Kid Chocolate came from a great Cuban fighter, Elio Sardines. You know, somebody said that I look like this this Cuban fighter from Cuba, and I kind of like favor to him. I show a lot of favor towards him, and I was like, man, you know, I don't really look at people and think that I look like them. I moved to New York, and I opened up this boxing encyclopedia, and I was like, man, this dude do kind of look like me. And then I was asking my dad, did he know him? You know, I felt like the name was given to me. I didn't name myself this. Some guys, some trainers in boxing gave me the name, and I was like, you know, this is a good fighter. And then I thought to myself, like, you know, I am Cuban, and I did have a son behind me there, and I just like, it's like, you know, keeping my heritage alive through the Cuban culture.
No doubt about it. We're talking with Kid Chocolate, of course. Now, I'm not going to get into politics. Let's just stay away from that. Talk to me about the movie, the documentary.
Get to the politics.
Talk to me about the movie, the documentary. All right, time out. You twisted my arm. I'm going to talk about politics. Now, you know, we've opened relations with Cuba. It's long overdue. You and I know that. Now the new Republican president and Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, they want to roll that back. They want to put Cuba back on a restricted basis. Are we going backwards in time with you know, black people getting lynched now and Cuba wanting to go back into the 50s. I mean, what's going on here?
The craziest thing is that, you know, the politicians here, especially like the Cuban, with the ones with the Cuban heritage in them, like Marco Rubio, I think it really can't stop things from happening. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of Cuban people, you know, they suffer with having an American dream story. Now, I don't think, honestly, the American dream story can really, you have a choice to make the opportunity work for you, or you can make the opportunity destroy you as a person. You know what I'm saying? I'm only saying this because my father's from Cuba and my dad came here and with the trade that he know, and he came here to make a honest living, turn into, you know, a drug dealer. You know what I mean? A real, like, you know, it's crazy. But you know, I don't think you should suffer and let the people in Cuba suffer with not being able to feel like they can see their family. Like, I'm going back in July to be able to see my family. And this is a great thing for me to be able to do that, to learn about who I am as a person. You know what I mean? So, as far as the politics, it's a lot of trouble, and there's a lot of problems within the world that I don't think not one person is going to come up with those answers. That's why, you know, how always have these kind of like dilemmas happening.
32-1-1 is a pro, no, Kid Chocolate, of course, the former world middleweight champion. You know, the WBO, who used to hold their belt, they're going to Cuba on their convention. October 23rd, they leave Miami, Florida on a cruise ship, and they're going to Cuba.
Maybe I need to give them a call and ask them.
Kid Chocolate, you might want to go on that trip. All right, now let's talk about the documentary. What is it all about? What's the name? Talk to me about it.
Counterpunch is a documentary just letting you guys see the inside life of a fighter. You know, you usually get to see a fighter when he's building up for a fight. You know, they get the good scenes and the good parts, but they don't ever get the camera on to see some of the parts that a fighter have to deal with. So, you know, as far as my part of the story, you know, I kind of let them in depth with my life, to let them know my life and see what I kind of struggle with and what I go through to be able to go through a fight. And you can think that you do all these things to win, and sometimes you might even lose. You might even have a draw. Or you do all that things and all this preparation just to have an outcome that you didn't expect. So I hope this shines a light on fighting, the story of a boxer, to be able to let people know just a small detail of what us fighters go through, you know, preparing for fights and, you know, trying to work to get to a certain level, and then find out that sometimes it's not always cracked up like people think it might be, you know. So hopefully this shine a little light on the sport of boxing and let them know that we are real professional athletes. A lot of us are, and we basically just trying to fight for our story and fight for our families. We got all the different destination where we're heading at, but it seems like sometimes it's the same kind of motivation.
The movie's called Counterpunch. Peter Quillin, you're a great fighter, a great personality. I'd love to have you back sometime soon.
I definitely will be. Thank you for having me.
All the best, man. Best of luck to you. Peter Quillin on Sports Byline.
Kids training across the pond, of course, from in the East Bay at Hayward. In Hayward, of course, at Virgil Hunter's trim. Of course, that's Andre Ward's home. Of course, Andre Ward, the light heavyweight champ, successful Friday night. Take that back Saturday night, of course, in Las Vegas, stopping Sergey Kovalev. When the referee jumped in, Kovalev said he could have continued. He said the low blows were hurting him. He was debilitating. Ah, come on. I told you, low blows don't hurt unless the cup is not fitted right. And if your cup's not fitted right, what can I say? It's sort of like losing being a catcher and then dropping a ball and saying, well, I didn't have the glove on right. I didn't have my mitt on right. Well, that's on you, man. It's your equipment. You had that's on you. Hey, let's fast forward, folks. I'm not talking about Conor McGregor and Floyd. Nah, we'll talk about that maybe in hour number two. How about a real boxing match? How about pound for pound, we'll figure out who's going to be like 1A to Andre Ward or 1B to Andre Ward. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez. What is he, 49 or 51-1, 30-something knockouts? Of course, the undefeated Gennady Golovkin. They call him Triple G of the former USSR. 37, 38, no, 35 knockouts. Not looking that good in that last fight against Danny Jacobs. They say, he's obsessed. He can be beaten now. The style to beat him. No. Let me tell you. Golovkin still outlanded the young man from Brooklyn like 2-1 in punches. And significant punches even more than that, okay? Golovkin was hurting him, and he was touching Golovkin. Big difference from touching guys to hurting guys, okay? When you're hurting guys, you're imposing your will. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Gennady Golovkin definitely won more rounds than Danny Jacobs did tonight. But if you listen to the TV announcers, and you got all up in that underdog hype and that thrill and this and that, listen to these guys shill, you said to yourself, well, Danny Jacobs, he might have won that fight. He might have won that fight. No. Danny Jacobs didn't win that fight. He just didn't, this wasn't happening. Anyway, Jacobs and Golovkin, this set up, of course, the meeting with Canelo Alvarez after Canelo Alvarez took care of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. a fortnight ago. Of course, that was a mismatch. The poor Mexican fans, I swear, got conned into this one. And they don't get conned very often. I mean, they're pretty astute sports fans, but they got conned into this one because he had the son of a Mexican legend. I mean, the greatest Mexican fighter maybe of all time, the great Julio Cesar Chavez, okay? I mean, he went like 76-0 before he lost a fight. He was a phenomenal fighter, no doubt about it. And then you have his son who grew up in the suburbs, who didn't grow up in Michoacan and, you know, running dope deals and that kind of stuff to survive. He didn't live in a railroad car like his father did, okay? He lived in the suburbs and mansions and stuff like that, so he was always well taken care of, so he was never hungry. And when I met him about 10 or 12 years ago, the kid wasn't even shaving yet. Didn't even shave. Of course, so they put him in this mega match with Canelo Alvarez for the Battle of Mexico. I mean, he's gonna bring the pride. He's going to show. He didn't bring it. He just didn't bring it. Canelo brought it. Canelo gangster slapped him for 12 rounds. I mean, it was a rout. I mean, there's couldn't get a more one-sided fight as far as 12 rounds are concerned than Canelo Alvarez, than the beating he put on Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. But the reason why Chavez wasn't knocked out and the reason why the fight wasn't great is that it takes two to dance. I mean, you've got to have a dance partner. In order to have a great fight, you just can't have one guy go out there and do his thing. It's got to be two guys willing to put it all out there on the line. And unfortunately, a lot of times in boxing, only one guy is willing to put it out there on the line. Speaking of putting it out there on the line, Anthony Joshua, the world heavyweight champion of the minds of many, 19-0. Joseph Parker, the WBO champion, 23-0. Vladimir Klitschko, the ex-champion, 65-4 now, 54 knockouts. I mean, Luis Ortiz, I think he's got a portion of the WBA title. He's 28-0 with like 23 knockouts. And, man, this guy's the real deal. He's a Cuban monster. He really is. He throws uppercuts on the inside like I don't know. I don't think I've seen a fighter throw uppercuts on the inside like him in a long, long, long time. Buster Mathis Sr., obviously the father of Buster Mathis Jr., but he fought Muhammad Ali and Cash, George Foreman, all those guys back in the 70s. He had good uppercuts and sneaky uppercuts and everything, but Ortiz, the uppercuts that he launches, they'll take you out. I mean, I think Luis Ortiz is the most underrated fighter in the heavyweight division right now. I think that Mr. Anthony Joshua, I think that Parker, I think that all these guys, Tyson Fury, if he comes back. And somebody told me the other day, how did Tyson Fury blow up to 400 pounds if he was doing cocaine and speed? How do you do that? I don't know, but I had a cousin who was a big speed freak, and he's clean now. He's been clean 15 years, but he was a speed freak like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he was mowing the lawn at 4 o'clock in the morning when I come home from Las Vegas on Saturdays after commuting. So he was all messed up on that stuff, okay? But he got off it. He got off it. It ain't easy. It ain't easy, but I'm telling you, crank, methamphetamine, it's invading the world right now. I saw a guy the other night at a restaurant the other night, and his eyes were bouncing all over the place. And of course, he was working as a waiter, and waiters, of course, use a lot of speed as a reputation. That's how they get around, using that crank. Anyway, nasty, nasty stuff, no doubt about it. If you've got a speed problem, go see a doctor or a therapist. You are tuned to the Mighty Ring Talk Live Worldwide from the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Open phone lines. We've got another hour and 5 minutes of Ring Talk Live Worldwide to go. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or the text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. A guy I saw last year, John Mellencamp on Ring Talk.